You're listening to the Bay Christian Family Church podcast.
Praise God. As you seat that, open your Bible once again to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Then go to Ephesians 4. Everybody ready? Can we have it up? Ready? Read. We have been looking at the last number of months at how important first things are. There's a lot of things that God establishes as priority. First obviously implies that there's more. There's a second, third, fourth. But the first action is vitally important. The first word spoken, the first things that we do are so important. And we get the first right, that sorts out everything else. The way I read Matthew 6:33, you can almost put it this way. If you seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, what's that talking about? Is doing it right. Now, your doing is not what gets you saved. For by grace you're saved by faith. It's not a result of works. It's a gift that God gives us. And we know that He became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God. So you can't do enough right to be right. You tried before you were saved. That's why we know we need Jesus, because we kept messing up. So Jesus never committed any sin, yet was made to be sin. It wasn't the action of sin. He was never a sinner, but He was made to be sin. Well, how could He be made sin? With our sin. It was with our sin that He was made sin. Well, the same way. We couldn't do enough right to be righteous. So how did we get righteousness? Well, He was made sin with our sin. We were made righteous with His righteousness. Now, that righteousness is who you are, but now it's going to manifest. If you have a torch, it has power in it. When you put it on, what happens? Light comes out of it. Isn't that right? So the light power is there. So now it has the capability, it's the potential. When you put the light on, light will come out of that torch. Same way you are now made righteous and you put the right actions into position, what happens? That righteousness will manifest as right works by His grace. So we are now born and saved to good works. So in doing right, in other words, let's find out how God's kingdom works, and then you do it the way He describes it, the way Jesus is saying, yeah, that if you seek God's kingdom, do it His way, do it right, then these other things will be added. The way I read that, these things happen automatically. They follow. They follow. They follow. Amen. You notice that if you want to shoot an arrow into a target, they'll do everything. You've got to hold the bow in the right place. You've got to hold the string in the right place. You've got to pull it back. You've got to get that arrow in the right place. But once you release it, there's nothing more you can do about it. That arrow's destined. It's predestined to hit the point that all of that setup put it in place for. And that's what the way I see it is. If you get all that right in the right place, and then you let that string go, the kingdom is designed to produce what He said would happen in your life. So we've had a look over the last 3 months, and we'd be wrapping it up, so to speak, as a series. But obviously through the year, we'll continuously be referring to these things. But there's so much more to study. But we've been talking about in the beginning God and then everything that came out of that. And so this morning, we had a look at receiving God's gift of the fivefold ministry. And so, as I said, we went through a lot, but let's have a look here. Ephesians 4, verse 11, God Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So you count those, you'll see there's five. That's where we get the name fivefold ministry. You heard someone talking about the fivefold ministry? That's what this is. These are appointed gifts that God, notice that some, not everybody, so God has raised some and He's put His anointing on their lives for the specific purpose. What's the reason for these fivefold ministries? It's not about that you're more important than anybody else, you the man and everybody, you know, these things can be abused. As I said this morning, just because there's abuse, don't reject the gift. How you know that there are doctors out there that have abused their medical license? And, you know, people call them quacks or whatever. Well, you don't write off all doctors because of that. If you need a doctor, you're going to find a good one. Isn't that right? We don't discount doctors because of the bad. Lawyers, people got all kinds of things to say about lawyers. That doesn't mean every lawyer's bad. If you need a lawyer, find a good spirit-filled lawyer, someone that knows what they're doing, and you can still get good service. Hallelujah. Amen. So the same way, there are abuses in the body of Christ, in any area of the doctrine, but we want to stay with what the Word says. So the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher are given for what purpose? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, how many want to be equipped to be successful in what God's called you? See, being a member of the body isn't just about coming to church on a Sunday and then living the rest of our lives for ourselves. No, every one of us are called to be a part of the body of Christ. You keep reading, you'll see in verse 16, it says, the whole body joined, knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. So we all have a part to play, which causes the body to grow. Church should always be growing, always expanding. We're always going to see more people come to Jesus. Can I get a bigger amen? Amen. So you and I are all part of that. And then it says in verse 13, until we come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And of course, I ask the question, are we there yet? The obvious answer is not yet. We're always going to be striving for that. Until Jesus comes, I don't think we'll even attain. We'll get closer and closer, but He's the perfect that will come. Hallelujah. Until that time, we still have equipping to do. So obviously, according to this, the whole fivefold ministry should be operating. And so that's what we looked at. We established it in the Word that this is more than just the 12 apostles that established the written doctrine of the Word, and Paul is an apostle. There are others that also walked in those gifts. And what it basically means is a sent one so that we can get the work done. Hallelujah. Now notice, part of the reason that we are given the fivefold ministry, verse 14, is that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You know, if the enemy can't stop you from studying the Word, he'll make sure you overstudy. Is that possible? Well, anything is. Eating is good. But eating healthy. You can't overeat. Isn't that right? You need to drink a certain amount of water every day. Isn't that right? You can overdrink. You can overdrink the wrong stuff. No one here would do that. Three amens. Anything can be done in excess. I said anything. And if we're looking for just studying, listening to every single message that's out there, you get too many confusing voices, the enemy will bring confusion. And we don't want that to happen. So if I start looking around, I start listening to others, that's where Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. He said, listen, you got many teachers, but few fathers. And he's calling them back. Listen, what I've taught you, what I've established as doctrine, make sure you stay with that doctrine. He even told Timothy, follow my doctrine. So in other words, what he's teaching, imitate me as I imitate Christ. God gives us the fivefold ministry to help keep us focused. So if we start straying, then we can hear the Word from the set man in our life, and that helps us to bring correction, bring us back into the right place. The enemy will want to silence that, because as long as he can keep me out of your life, remember, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And if he can keep me silent in your life, he can steal the faith that God wants to get into your life. So if he can't steal the word out of your heart, he'll silence the word, putting the word into your heart. And the way he does that is if he can somehow bring kindness, a disrespect, or a not recognizing the gift. And again, we need to understand, this is not about glory of man. I recognize that without Jesus, I'm nothing. Amen. The word that I speak is his word. The way I speak it is by his grace. He's the great teacher. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will remind us of what we've been taught. He will show us what we need to say. Not for one moment do I think I wonder what I need to teach people and then just decide I think we need this. No, I'm always going to the Holy Spirit. I'm always saying, Lord, what is it that you want us to hear? Why? Because it's his church. Jesus said he will build his church. And unless the Lord builds it, they labor in vain who build it. And so praise God. You have someone in your life. You have this fivefold ministry that helps us to stay pure to the word of God. That's why it's important. If you're listening to anybody, you want to hear scripture. It is written. It is written. It is written. A lot of these people that criticize what we teach, they actually go for character assassination. They try and put you in the camp of some weird doctrine and some weird background. That's not the point. It doesn't matter who comes. Let me see. How many of you know anybody that say probably came out of a bad history? Amen. So if somebody was an alcoholic, can I listen to them? If they're born again, they've heard the word of God, God calls them, I can listen to them. Are you with me? So pointing to someone's history doesn't negate the gospel that they're teaching. It's so important to get a hold of that. Go back to, is it written? Is it written? Is it written? People will say, oh, that group or that camp or whatever, they use it almost like in a bad way, a bad statement, and they say this, like it's obvious that that's wrong. I go, hang on, then tell me what these five scriptures are saying. First, explain these five scriptures. If you can explain those, then we may be able to have a discussion. But we're going to have to go back to it is written. The word. The word. The word. Have you noticed? For 30 years, I've opened every single service. As you seated, open your Bible. I don't start with a cute video and... Are you with me? Because I want to make sure what we're teaching is from the Word of God. And you say amen. So verse 15, what do? Speak the truth, how? In love. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. How many know we also sometimes need correction? Again, only five amens. I said, how many know we need correction? But have you noticed when I bring correction, you always feel edified? If I'm preaching in a way that you feel worse, you feel like a dog, you sinner, you're no good, you call yourself Christians, you're supposed to be serving Jesus, and if you serve Jesus, then you would have your life would change, you'd want to be repenting, you repent, you're sinners, you... That's not going to help us. Amen? I know I'm a sinner. I was a sinner. I know when I... How many know when you've done something wrong? I need someone to reach down into that mud and say, you know what? We've been there. All of us have been there. Come on. You can come up. Let's get out of that. Let's get cleaned. Let's go to the Lord. Let's go into his throne room. Let's receive his forgiveness. Let's make sure we start again. Amen. Come on. Shout amen. Amen. Speak the truth in love. We grow up. Bump your neighbor and say, it's time to grow up. Grow up. In all things, into him who is the head, Christ. And there we are joined together, everybody doing their share. So we had a look here. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. The righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Say this, faith speaks. I can always tell where a person's faith is by listening to them. Why? Because the spirit of faith is having believed, I speak. Speak what? What you believe. out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when I hear certain things coming out of a person's mouth, I know where they stand with God, with the Word. And so when a doctor gives a bad report, what comes out your mouth next is important. If a sponge is wet and you squeeze it, water comes out of it. You squeeze a faith Christian, should all be, every Christian should be a faith. It's almost, why should I even say that? But you squeeze a Christian, I expect word to come out of you. Oh me, oh my, what are we going to do now? No. It is well. It is well. And so we want to hear the word of God. Faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, "Well, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead." This morning, I didn't have time to elaborate on that. What that basically is saying, very often we can get into, I don't know about you, when I first got saved, I was hearing the word accurate way for the first time. Now, I was brought up in a church where they said the gifts have passed away and, you know, all these sort of things, cessation doctrine. And yet, there's my wife who was healed because of a word spoken. And even the doctor was surprised. So I had the evidence, but I had all this history and baggage to clear out. So sometimes when you first hear the word, have you noticed, like I've said before, you sometimes, have you ever been to a fair or something like that, or somewhere where they, you know, they got the table with the stuff on it, and they got this machine, and then they got all the, and then you go, and this thing does this, and then and also does, and you go, oh, I need one of those. Come on, how many you know what I'm talking? And you bought one. Let me see how many. Come on, all the honest people, put their hands up. And then you get it home, and you go. And it slides and it slips and it doesn't do the way he does it. And it's stuck at the back of your cupboard somewhere and you've never looked at it again. Come on, how you can admit you got some stuff stuck in the back of the cupboard? It looked good when you bought it, but it just didn't do what you... And that's kind of how I felt in the beginning when it came to faith. My pastor was standing up there, Pastor Theo, and he was telling his stories and his testimonies, and I thought, I can do this, and I took the word, and I put it into action. It was like, you can look the Greek up for that later, but, you know, it just wasn't going. It was like you just couldn't get the engine started, and then you go into God, you know, if you're real, then... Just yes, people, they saw angels, and you hear this one, and you just, if I see an angel, then at least I know you're true. Come on, have, be honest. How you wouldn't mind? Just a touch. But what is that? You're expecting something in the natural. You're expecting it in the natural. That's even when Jesus was dealing with Thomas, who said, unless I put my hand in his fingers, unless I can put my hand in his side, he says, I will not believe. He made a decision to not believe. And so when Jesus shows up for the first time with Thomas, he says, Thomas, come here, put your hand in. And Thomas does, and he puts his hand in, and he goes, my Lord, my God. And Jesus says, now you believe. Now you believe. But you've seen. Blessed are those who have not seen but believe. See, the blessing, there is an added empowerment when it's done by faith. Because believing the natural, how many know that after Jesus is gone, maybe Thomas goes, was that real? Because it was a tangible, it wasn't out of the heart. How many of you ever had an experience and then years later you wonder, was it really like that? You've told the story so many times, but it's changed in your mind and you're wondering, did it really happen that way? And that's the problem with natural manifestations. So I'm not looking for a tangible manifestation. I don't need to see Jesus to know that he's there. I don't need to call him from heaven, Lord, just if I just feel the wind, then I will know. Faith doesn't speak like that. That's what he's saying. What does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. The word is in you in your mouth and in your heart. The word is near you in your heart and in your mouth. Why do you believe? The word says. Do you really believe there's a God? Yes. How? Prove it. The word says so. How do you know the word's true? It says. The scriptures are given for correction, reproof. It's the Holy Spirit revealing the word by inspiration. So you trust the word because the word says it's true. Yes. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He came to the earth. He proved his life. He died. He rose from the dead. No other prophet has ever done that. So you cannot even call him prophet. And him by his own mouth spoke many times of him being the Son of Man, and then revealed later he's the Son of God. Come on, can you give a bigger amen? So it's the word. How can you believe you healed? I say it because God's word says so. Yeah, but then how come that one's still wearing glasses? How come that one's still right in the wheelchair? How come that doesn't change the word? I said circumstances don't change the word. I say what I say because the word says so. I don't need the physical manifestation to prove the word is true. I don't adjust my doctrine based on my result and the response to what I think I did in the word. That's very often what happens. People say, well, if the word says so, let me do it. Doesn't work. Okay, now I need to change my doctrine. No, I'm going to go back to what does the word say. Now, which word is in our mouth? He qualifies it. That is the word of faith which we preach. Everybody say word of faith. Now, even there, people have used that as a, like that group. And that's all wrong. It's all in error. And it comes from this and comes from that. No, word of faith is not a denomination. It's every believer. Because verse 17 says faith comes by hearing. Hearing by? So if faith comes by hearing the word, there must be faith in that word. That's the word of faith. So the word of faith means faith speaks. So if you speak, what do you use to speak with? Words. Now, what word is it? It's this word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. And the spirit of faith is having believed, I speak. And you saw Pastor Danny read earlier on from Proverbs is death and life are in the power of the tongue. There's so many scriptures, and I don't have time to get into that now. The point is, he's saying here that this word that you hear and you speak, it begins. This is how your Christian life began, was on this concept. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And he qualifies it because with the heart one believes, there you are qualified and made righteous. And with the mouth confession, it manifests in salvation. So it's in the spoken word, your salvation manifested. To me, that's the greatest miracle anyone could hope for, being born again. Now, the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. There's no distinction between Jew and Greek. It's the same Lord over all, is rich to all who call upon him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, this is the important part. How then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? Family, you and I will never know that we could be healed. We could never believe for it unless we heard about it. So how can I call on something if I don't believe it? It begins with belief. But how will you believe if you haven't heard it? And how will you hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? It's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. And then you get to verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, you know that if you read the word, study the word on your own, you will receive faith. If you are alone on an island with a Bible, you could still have faith. You could trust God, hear the word, believe someone's coming to rescue you, etc., etc. Are you with me? But there are some things that God puts a man of God into your life to deposit that wouldn't come other than had He not spoken it. God appoints people into our lives that take the word, even the word you, that's why many, very often you read, you go, amen, 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 amen. Why? Because you've read it before, you heard it before, you agree with it. But then the man of God says it and there's an anointing on it that suddenly that scripture jumps and comes alive. Suddenly it births in you. Say, today I got what I came for. Have you ever had that? I've said something I've said 20 times before, but today something rose in your heart and said, that's it, I'm going home, it's done. And that's where you see all these testimonies start coming in. It's not like I said anything different that I haven't said for the last 30 years. It's that there was a moment and unction where God sends into your life that prophetical word, using the same word that you can say amen to. If you wrote an exam, you get 100%. I use the same scriptures, but in speaking the anointed word, it now ignites something that God gives you to take you to your next level. Hallelujah. And so Matthew chapter 10, verse 40, Jesus speaking says, he who receives me and he receives you receives me. He who receives me receives him who sent me. So the Father has something to give you, but he does it through Jesus. And then Jesus sends someone into your life to deposit that. That's why he says, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. In other words, there's an anointing on that prophet to establish something in your life, but you have to recognize and receive that gift because of the gift that God's put in my life. And when I receive that gift, the reward that comes through receiving that is also mine. Come have a look over here in 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. As many of you may know, as you read it before, King Ahab was a wicked king, and Elijah went to go and decree a word that because of that wickedness, God has decreed that there shall be a drought. And Elijah calls that and says, there will be no more rain until I say so. And of course, the rain stopped and there was a horrible drought. And so King Ahab, knowing Elijah had said it, wanted to kill him. Well, that makes sense. Kill the man that can start the rain again. But he wants to kill him because he stopped the rain. And so God tells Elijah to get out and to go to the brook Cherith, and there he will find ravens that will bring him bread and meat every day. And there was water in the river. But eventually the water dried up and the ravens stopped bringing meat. And God says, and he gives an instruction in verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. I have commanded a widow to provide for you. Evidently, this widow has heard God. Because God says, I commanded her, she must be ready. So, verse 10, Elijah rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as he was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And so she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, a little oil in a jar, and see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself, my son, and that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, I apologize. I've come to the wrong house. I would never impose on your poverty. Let me find the rich widow that obviously God was sending me to. Is that what happened? Watch this man's response. Do not fear. Do not fear. You obviously heard from God because He told me, He commanded you. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. Faith can be contaminated by this fear. Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward, make some for yourself and your son. Now, family of God, this is a dire situation. First of all, there's a drought. Drought means no water. This man of God comes from this 5-star hotel where he's had spring water in multitudes. He's eaten hamburgers every day, bread and meat, and probably well fed. And he arrives in town and he finds this widow, and she has blatantly told him, that's it. And he says, get me water. That's already a sacrifice. So she turns to go and fetch the water. Why? God told her. So she's acting in faith. Are you with me? So she turns to get the water. But Elijah wants to elevate her faith. She responded very quickly, but I need to find where your faith is. So he says, oh, and get me something to eat. And there's a blocking point. She stops. I was ready to obey. You saw me going. But now you've hit my point of lack. This is my lost. Now you understand, this is not Madam Big Bucks. This is a poor widow. You can tell the way she is. She probably had nails cut, worn down to the root, with probably dirt in them. She's picking up sticks. And she's got this last little bit of flour, last bit of oil at home. And yeah, this man says, she says, this is it. This is, I can, she says, I can just make enough, for me and my son. And then we die. Because what's that mean? There's no more food. After that, there is no more. And Elijah, this well-fed prophet, says, give it to me first. Now, if that was today, I wonder how social media would handle that one. Brother Big Bucks asks widow for her last meal. Isn't that how it's reported? See, the world don't understand these things. See, if you don't get this, it will seem like, oh, all the church wants is my money. All they're after, all they want. No, there's a principle involved, yeah? How many of you know God's not thinking about Elijah here? Yeah? He says, I've commanded a widow. God has this widow in mind, but she needs her faith to be propelled because there's much more that's coming. And God sees that coming. He sees what's coming down the road. And so He has to prepare her. And so He says, go and make me a cake. I'm going to eat it first. And for thus says the Lord your God, your Israel, the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she goes and she makes the cake. She did according to the word. She did according to the word. The word. But God spoke to her. He says, I have commanded a widow. But do you notice what's happened here? She had a word from God, but her circumstances caused her to hit a blockage. So God sends a man into her life that obviously he doesn't need this word. He's already been looked after. But by depositing the word into her, you've already heard from God, but now I'm telling you, I'm giving you motivation, act on it. It's more than just hearing God. I need to propel you into action. You can want to do something as much as you want to, but if your circumstances are at a breaking point, that's when we say, I know God's looking after me, but this is the end. And a man steps into your life and said, it is not the end. You've only just begun. You may have a circumstance that seems impossible. It looks like it's over. There's not enough. When you look at you staring at the bin, and I'm telling you, that is not the end. If you take what God has given you, I'm telling you, act on that word. Put it to work. Do this one more thing. Do this first, and I can tell you, this is not the end. You're going to have more than you could ever imagine. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah. She brings the cake back to him, and he eats it nogal. He could have said, like, offer up Isaac, and Abram's about to kill Isaac. Stop, now I know. He could have said, now I know. She's probably looking like, that is the last cake. And he eats it in front of her. Wow. See, we've got to understand how the kingdom works. Because the world will take that and twist it to shreds and call out the man of God, that all these people that are struggling and taking their loss and everything. No, it is not your loss. It's the first. It's the first. It's saying what word is in your heart. Well, speak it. Act on it. Move on it. Because when you move and you act on that word, what happens? The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. God had to deliver a man into her life to take her further than what she had heard from God. Come on, you getting a hold of this? Well, it's not further than what God said. It's God had spoken, but to take her heart and say, act on it. Praise God. And family of God, can you imagine? The Bible knows, it says there, the bin of flour was not used up, nor the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, he spoke by Elijah. She and her household and he ate for many days. Come back to verse 15. She went away, did according to the word of Elijah, she and he. She and Elijah and her household ate for many days. So what happened? She kept feeding the man. Kept feeding the man. Why? There's an anointing happening. She's acting on what God has told her to do. So family of God, I really want to encourage you in this. Know this, that God has deposited in your life not just somebody who runs the church that you can come to. It is a prophetic word. It is an anointed word. And if you open your heart for that, many, many people can testify to it. I hear the word, I'm learning, I'm studying, I'm getting the scriptures, but then all of a sudden the man of God says something and it ignites. I'm doing this today. I'm doing this on Monday when I get to work. I've been waiting on it, I've been wheel spinning, but that word that he gave, I'm acting on it. And if you can get a hold of that, I'm telling you today, you're going to see things happening. It wasn't about Elijah. Elijah didn't need the widow woman. How many know God could have kept feeding him? You think the river ran dry just because it's a drought? God's brought rivers. He already proved it with Moses. He brought a river out of a rock. That man could have just as well have brought river water out of the rock. But God said, no, it's not about you, Elijah. I'm sending you into that woman. She needs the help. And you see that she sees many, many other miracles after that. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. So we are now set up with firsts. Amen. Get our priorities right. Get our firsts right. Keep our hearts in the right place. Be aware the enemy's trying to take these things from us. But we understand that he's activated them in our lives. Because when we put it into action the way he says to do it, you're going to see many, many wonderful miracles. Amen. Amen. God sent me into your life. And I hope you're hearing that now with the right, accurate scripture. It's not about, I take no glory. It's like Paul says, no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. It says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. It all keeps going back to him, back to Jesus, back to his life. But when God sent me into your life, he sent a miracle into your life. Because in the word that is spoken from this platform, it activates the miracle. Get ready for it. Amen. Get ready for it. Every day. Every day. You got to be in a place of receiving. Amen. Just stay ready. Stay ready. And you're going to see miracles. Let's stand together. Just lift your hands in the presence of God. Say this, Father, thank you. You are a God of miracles. I believe it. You've given me your word. You've shown me your word. You've proved it in your word. And I thank you for sending men and women of God into my life that speak the word I need to hear. I know your word is true. I've read it for myself. And then it is spoken by your anointed apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And I receive that word. I receive my miracles. I see miracles happening in my life every day. I see it happening every day in Jesus' name. You receive that? Give Jesus praise. Amen.